So we find ourselves in John chapter 4, and I got lots of scripture to read to us this morning. And I'm going to probably skip through some of my points, because I feel as though the Lord's already ministered in an amazing way this morning. I really do. But I just want to share a little bit of this word. And it says this: Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees have heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, says that he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. So Judea is in the south, Galilee is in the north. In between there is a place called Samaria. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, so it was the middle of the day. Jesus is weary, he's hot. And so at this point in time, just a woman. So I want you to picture Jesus at this well in this hot place where people used to have to dip and get water from out of it, where his ancestors, Joseph and Jacob and all of them, is this very significant place. It says that a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city of Samaria to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw the water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and then come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying you have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one now you have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain," so mind you, they're in Samaria, the middle ground, "or in Jerusalem, will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." Jesus is what? Jewish. So salvation is from Jesus. "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So we'll break there. And maybe we'll go into a second half here. So going to the top of this, this is the first thing I want us to get in this picture. As Jesus is going with his disciples from Judea to Galilee, he stopped in this middle ground called Samaria. And it says that Jesus was what? Tired. The book of John is to reveal to us something about who? Jesus. So let's focus on who Jesus is in this text and allow this text to reveal who Jesus is. So in this text, we see that Jesus gets tired. What? Our Savior gets tired? So what is the emphasis that you think the writer John wanted us to understand about this text? is that Jesus is what? Is fully God, but in this emphasis, he wants us to know that Jesus is a human being. That Jesus was a man who the same temptations that you feel, he also, that there was no temptation that he did not have to endure. There was nothing that was pressed on his life that in your life that you have to experience and that you have to learn how to overcome. That Jesus didn't give you the blueprint on how to overcome it because he also had those same temptations. And so as Jesus was fully God, he allowed himself to become fully human. So why? So the text can tell us that we have a God that what? Relates with us. Has anybody ever been tired before? Has anybody just wanted to go home and take a nap, but you knew no nap was in sight? Right? And so everybody's raising their hand. Aren't you happy that you don't serve a God who's just in the sky, but he decided to step down from heaven and that he says, I want to show you how you can walk. I want to show you how you can live even when you're tired and when you're weary. And even lonely. It says that his disciples had left and he's in the heat of the day. He's resting on the well. See, Cam just yawned. He's a little bit tired. You a little tired, Cam? He said, a little bit. See, that's honest. Way to be unmasked before the church, Cam. He said, I don't mind about yawning in front of the pastor. This is me. I'm tired. Jesus was tired too, Cam. I get it. I understand it. We get weary sometimes. Sometimes when we're worshiping, there's something physically in us that's like, I just don't feel like lifting my hands in worship this morning. I'm tired. Why? Because you're having a human being experience. We're not coming in here telling you not to have a human being experience. I just want you to come in honesty. Because Jesus showed us what it meant to be honest. You think that if God the Father sent down ministering angels to him when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, you don't think that Jesus had the access to the Father to ask angels to come to give him sustenance and to give him strength physically? These ministering angels, it says that because Jesus was tired after Satan tempted him, they said that the angels ministered to him because of his weakness. So he was tired because he was hungry. His physical. And so if God did it before, why did Jesus not in this moment call down angels? Why? Because Jesus wanted us to show a picture that it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be a human being. Because even our Savior, our Jesus, was tired. But yet he still did not sin. It says that as Jesus was tired, it says that this Samaritan woman came to him. So who was this Samaritan woman? So I did a little breakdown for us to understand who was a Samaritan. So a Samaritan was somebody who was from the region of Samaria, which there was a city. And then in Samaria, and the Samaritans who were there, this is the thing, that these were Jewish people. So they were all a part of the nation of Israel at one point in time. But when Israel was traveling and going to the promised land and all those things, that they would settle in places and certain people would then intermix with the culture and idolatry of pagans or Gentiles or worldly people. Remember, the Jews were called to be set apart people to represent God, to represent what it means to have relationship with him. And God had put a command on them to serve no other God but me. And he gave them these laws and these regulations to show us a picture of what it means to be set apart and holy. That was the whole purpose of the Jewish people, but they failed it time and time again. And a part of the people who failed it miserably were the Samaritans because they allowed themselves to be lured into serving other idols and other nation and cultures' gods. So much so that they no longer would serve Yahweh, but they would serve Baal or Asherah and these other people to where they would start to work against. We see in the picture in Nehemiah, when God told Nehemiah to go and restore the walls of Jerusalem, it was the people in Samaria that was actually coming against Nehemiah. These people who were once God's people are now working against God's people. They were known to be enemies. So this is why the woman at the well, it's saying like, wait, Jews and Samaritans aren't supposed to be together. We're looked at as traitors. It was like the 1950s, the 1960s. It was like when there was the Jim Crow and it had to be divided. This is the water for the white people. Here's the water for the black people. Aren't we glad that we in the church that can have white, black, Mexican, and everything else in here? I don't know if do we have any Asians here? We got to get some Asians in our church. Amen. They're like, too far, Pastor, too far. Hey, it's the desire of my heart. Let me be multicultural, you know what I mean? They're kind of up in the golds right now. Hopefully not too long. Although there's more Asians other than China. So I won't be ignorant up here. I'm going to stop talking. Anyways, you guys get it. They were segregated. They weren't supposed to be together, right? So not only is it a Samaritan person, but it's a Samaritan woman, which at this point in time in ancient cultures, women were treated as second-class citizens. It was natural for women and sexism to be a thing in ancient cultures. It was accepted that sexism was a thing in ancient cultures, except for God's people, the Jews. God would put specific laws and regulations over women who were widows, over women who didn't have a husband, and then they would have to have a kinsman redeemer, that men had to make sure that they took care of the people who fell in the chasms. These were all the second-class citizens, which at this point in time, what James is talking about is to take care of the orphan, the widow, and to be untainted from the world, which the world means that people who fall in this chasm, even children, that they would treat them as second-class citizens. But God would create laws for slaves and women and orphans that they would be elevated when they came into the Jewish culture. Why? Because the Jewish people were supposed to represent God and his goodness. So just because ancient cultures didn't treat women properly as God was calling them to, it doesn't take away the fact that that's what history shows. Amen? So now we have a Samaritan woman. So what is John trying to tell us about the text with Jesus as Jesus starts to talk and engage with this Samaritan woman, the second class citizen who's a traitor to the people of God? It shows us that this woman comes to Jesus at the well and Jesus says, "Woman, give me a drink of water," which kind of sounds like, where's the respect, Jesus? In his tiredness and in his weariness, maybe Jesus was being a little bit more direct. "Woman, give me a drink of water." And she's looking at him like, "Sir," as she's alone in the middle of the day. Some history would show, and I've done a little study way back, but it says that maybe, this is just a guess, that this woman was by herself due to the condition that she had five husbands, and the current man that she's with is not her husband. And so she's coming to the well, not early in the morning when all the other women are showing up to the well, but because of her lifestyle and because of her mistakes and because of her shortcomings, she's going to the well when she knows no one else is going to be there. But you can always expect that Jesus is willing to be in the place that you thought nobody else would be. And then Jesus, in his tiredness and his weariness, asked her for a drink of water. And this woman is perplexed. She's like, first of all, I'm a woman. Second of all, I'm a Samaritan. And I see that he is a Jewish man that is traveling, who's weary. Why would he even be talking to me right now? But Jesus, in his love, is interacting. He's not worried about all the systems, all the doctrines, all the other silly stuff that people are talking about. And she says, "Why are you asking me for a drink of water? This is the well of Jacob. This is the place of worship where the Jews and the people used to come. And this is our only place where us Samaritans could come. This mountain of where we're at, or where this well is. This is a holy place. But why are you asking me, the second class citizen, traitor, to get you a cup of water and to draw from a well?" And then Jesus starts to speak to her. And what does he say? He said, "If you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, if only you knew who you were speaking with, if only you knew who you were connecting with, you would jump and you would leap at the opportunity to get the water that I have." She says, "Sir, what are you talking about, the water that you have? You don't even have anything to draw into the well to get." He says, "Oh, see, at first, you have to see me in my human nature so you can know that I'm willing to relate with you." Jesus is leaned up against the well looking tired, looking dusty. Now all of a sudden she's meeting Jesus because Jesus was willing to meet her where she was in this human moment. But now he's transitioning from a human moment to him being fully God at the same time. And he starts to reveal to this woman, to the second class citizen, he says, "Woman, if you knew the water that I have, the water that I have is living water. The water that I have leads to eternal life. So what is this text saying about Jesus? Let's go back to, what is this text saying about Jesus? That Jesus is willing to reveal to this woman who is clearly broken, this woman who's clearly isolated herself, this woman who's come into this world, that Jesus cared enough to her to let her know who he was and the resource that was in front of her. You never have to worry about when you meet with Jesus that he's going to withhold who he is to you. God is not trying to withhold himself from you. God's not trying to withhold himself from you in your valley moment. God's not trying to withhold himself from you in your hurt. God's not trying to withhold himself from you in your shadow moment. And he's saying to this woman pretty much, come into the light because I have something that is eternal for you. I have something that is eternal for you. And all of a sudden, this woman, she starts breaking into this other part talking about worship. Why was this woman just start talking about it? It went from water to worship to eternal life because there was something in her that felt as though there was something to worship. There was something to have reverent about this moment right now. And she says, what are you talking about? That there's this mountain here that we're called to worship and Jews are supposed to be in Jerusalem and worshiping at the temple. And Jesus says, I'm living water. And there's going to come a time, and the time is now, where worship isn't where the temple is, and worship isn't where the mountain is. The living water, the refreshing of what you need, the worship that you need, is here right now in front of you. She says, well, give me this water. He said, go and get your husband. She says, I have no husband. Then Jesus unmasks her. You can only be in the presence of God so much so until he starts to unmask some things. And this is the practical thing of when we start to come to Jesus and we start to pray, this is what I want you to know in this unmasking process. There's going to be some things that start to get revealed in your life. It's like, why am I thinking about this right now? Why is this issue that I did X amount of years ago, or why is this thing that I did last week popping up in my mind right now as I'm going to pray? It's because Jesus is unmasking you. He's revealing some things. When those things are coming up in your mind as you're praying and making you busy and all those things, that I want you for just a moment to maybe think, this is maybe Jesus starting to show me what's deep down in my heart. And he's bringing it to the surface so that I can give it to him. Don't get frustrated with yourself when you go to pray. And you go, Jesus, I got to clean this. I got to do that. I was mean to my wife. All of a sudden, I was irritated with my kids. Oh, man, I didn't have this moment with it. And it's all those things. I want you to start following the root of those things. All those things that's busy in your mind are processes of you trying to make sure that you matter and that you belong. So the root of it is that you really haven't met the source of living water to tell you and to connect and wash you to let you know that you matter and that you belong and that you have purpose. All those things that's rushing through your mind that you think you have to get to, it's all about, I can guarantee you, it comes from the root of you needing to perform. You need to do this so that you can look this way. You need to do this so that you can have these finances. You need to do that so that your kids, so nobody's going to talk about your kids because if they ashy and they crusty and you don't got enough lotion to put on their body, that people are going to think that you're a bad parent. Am I wrong? Am I just? And you need to say, Jesus, I see you. And I give you these things. For I'm not trying to get to that place to where I feel as though I can worship you and get this job done. Like, I don't have to get to Jerusalem and I don't need to go to this mountain to worship you. But right now, I'm fully yielded, unmasked right now. And revealed to me my sin. But here's the thing that the woman at the well did. She stayed. After Jesus pretty much confronted her about her having five husbands and then saying the man that you're with right now is not even your husband. You know what she did? She said, I perceive you to be a prophet. But she stayed and she listened to him. Do we stay in our weary times? Do we stay in our most isolated times? Do we stay long enough to continue to listen to Jesus so that he can refresh us and renew us with this living water? Or all of a sudden he was like, this is worthless. I don't even know why I tried to pray this morning. I don't even know why I thought he was going to meet me here. My life is still the same. I got all these things I got to do. But what if we just stayed unmasked before the Lord, just like this woman? And you know what started to happen? You know what she got? Revelation. Because Jesus didn't say it, but she recognized him to be a prophet. And then she started talking about the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. Something was welling up in her heart about worship. We came for water. Now we're talking about worship, and now we're talking about Jesus. Do you not think that in your most natural needs that Jesus won't take you from water to worship to Jesus? That's his unmasking process. Sometimes it's even the physical things that you thought you needed. Then Jesus will be right there. And then he'll take you to a place of worship, and then he will reveal to you who he is. And what did Jesus say to her? He said, I am the Christ. That I know you came here for water, but what you were really looking for was living water. I know you came and prayed for me to solve your problems and your solutions through the physical realm of what you thought you needed. But when you realized that his presence was actually all you needed, then all of a sudden, just like this woman, I'm not going to read the rest of the text because it's 11:40. And you can read it too at home. It says that after Jesus spoke to her for a little while and his disciples came, and his disciples were looking at him like, why is Jesus talking to this woman? And it says, as soon as his disciples came, which I thought it was interesting that when more men came, maybe the men that made her feel inferior, maybe more men were coming that from the culture where sexism was appropriate, maybe more men were coming. She's like, this is so good right now. Come on, Worth, what you trying to do, buddy? You trying to come up here with your uncle? You want, okay. You know, I'll let him. Let him come. He's like, I'm just trying to be unmasked. This is me having fun at church. What was I talking about? Was y'all listening? Okay, more men were coming. Yeah, the church is listening this morning. More men were coming. It says, as the men came, it says that she dropped her jar as the men got there and they were talking to her. It says that she went, everything that, before the invasive thoughts. This is just a suggestion. I don't know if this is for sure, but this picture just makes me a little bit excited about the posture, I think, sometimes of what we need to do. It says, as more men were coming and she was outnumbered, one woman to all these men, it says, before this goodness of what she just had, it says that she dropped her jar and went straight to Samaria as the men came. Because this is what I think happened. This is for me personally. I don't know. Maybe it could be the Holy Spirit, could be JD. But I'm thinking, she's like, the goodness of this good news that I have, I don't need these invasive thoughts of how I know culture used to treat me and how people used to treat me. I don't need them coming into my mind right now. I'm going to drop this jar and go tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. And I guarantee as she was running to Samaria, we know what she says. She said, I just met a man who told me everything about my life. And we need to go see him. You know what that's called? An evangelist. Someone who goes out and tells people about the good news of Jesus and brings them to redemption to him. And this woman, who was a second-class citizen in a world of sexism, leaves these disciples with this good message and goes into an entire city, which maybe puts my theory to fallacy because she left a couple men to go into a whole city to preach the gospel. But maybe she was getting encouraged as she went with this good news, hearing that. How did he know this? Because he has to be the Christ. How did he know this? Because he has to be the Christ. I just encountered living water, and all of a sudden, living water was coming out of her. And she goes to the city. And do you see how Jesus redeems a woman who was so shameful that she had to go to a well by herself is now going throughout the streets of Samaria with a whole bunch of people who felt as though they've been ostracized from God because of the decisions that they made. And they were also hoping for the Christ who was to come. Because why would she know about him? Because there was still a seed in her that someone spoke over her life that was in there. And when she got living water, that seed started to grow and that seed started to prosper and some fruitfulness started to come into that city. And she said, The Christ is here. All that stuff about Samaria and Jews, it's over with. I just saw a man who told me everything about me, and he washed me, and he made me clean. Come and see. And it was a woman that declared the goodness of Jesus in a culture where people wouldn't respect women. What type of exuberance? What type of joy? What type of power? What was this woman saying to these people that was so convincing? That was so convincing. So convicting. It's one thing to talk about Jesus with your mouth, but it's one thing to live through conviction. This woman didn't care. Five husbands, six husbands, eight of them. She was washed by living water. No shame, no guilt. At the end of this text, it says that the people from the city started to come to Jesus. And she said, and they said, "We heard your word, but now we believe because we've witnessed him for ourselves." That was the fruit of her ministry. She didn't need to learn under Gamaliel. She didn't need to be in the temple in Jerusalem to learn about the Messiah. She didn't have to read X amount of books. She didn't have to do any of those things. All she needed to do was come to this well, allow God to unmask her, allow Jesus to unmask her, and then take what he gave her and then use whatever he gave her. You don't have to know have all of Scripture memorized in your heart, but you do got a testimony. You have something to give about the goodness and the good news of God. Yes, we should absolutely read our Bible, the Word of God. It's a study to show yourself approved. But when you realize that the Word became flesh, our Bible is a person. When you have relationship with that person, he does something in your heart. And the Bible actually says when you don't know what to say, that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that he'll teach us what to say. Jesus unmasked this woman, even with her biggest, darkest secret, and he turned it around in a day to where this woman went from being someone who was in shame, going to a well. How long did this take? A day. It says that Jesus was in that area for 2 days, speaking to people, healing, teaching. But it took this woman a day. The power of Jesus, it takes a day for him to change the trajectory of your life, for him to renew your mind, and for you to remember it's not about the mountain and it's not about the temple. It's about understanding that Jesus is there each and every day. And all he's looking for people is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Unmasked, real, honest. And all he's asking in spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the Spirit of God, we want to pray over you. We're going to pray right now. If you can do me a favor, if you can be so bold and if you can be so brave, just in this moment. If you have not accepted Christ in your life, are you willing to stand up if you haven't received Christ in your life? So we got a bunch of saved people in the church. Okay. I like it. So that's one. And maybe stand up. Maybe if you're the first person, I'm not calling you unbrave or anything like that. I gave you a moment, but I want the second person that I want to stand up. If you haven't been washed, if you have come to Christ, but yet you haven't gone before him, you haven't revealed your secrets to him, you've been living in shame, you believed him for one time, you met him, and you knew that you were saved by God, and he set you apart, and you had a testimony, but all of a sudden life started getting in the way, and you masked yourself from him, and you hid from him, and you're afraid to go to him. Could you stand up for me? Because he wants to wash you and make you new. Now I'm going to tarry and I'm going to wait here because I know we're not sitting here in the church that we've all been there and are perfected. But I'm going to wait. Amen. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. I see you. Praise God. Got my brother raising his hand. You don't have to have shame, brother. Go ahead and stand up. You can stand up. You got it. You got it. Amen. Come on. You got it. No shame in this place. Church, if this was you and you felt shame, Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God sees you, brother, in your darkest moment, and he wants to wash you and make you clean. Stay standing if you've been standing. See, we've grown so close, and so we've gone so far to believe, because some people like to manipulate people through their emotions, that we try to make it up something. All I've done is teach you the word of God today. And I'm telling you, it was one day that took this woman to completely change the trajectory of her life. I'm not saying to you that's something that JD's just trying to say. I'm telling you what scripture is saying. Father, for everyone who has stood today, thank you so much for your living water that washes, that cleanses. And Father, right now, we repent. Even if we fell short this morning, we repent of our ways and our shortcomings. Whether that be something in sexual immorality, whether we were a thief, whether we acted in fits of rage, and we've been hiding things from you that we have been afraid to reveal in front of our church, that today we stand and we say, wash us and make us new. Because your word says that that's what you will do. I thank you for every brother, for every sister. May your spirit come and empower. Your word says it is for freedom that you've set us free. And that you will teach us how to live in this freedom daily. As your son Paul says that daily he had to die. Father, we come to you and say, daily we're willing to die so that you may be seen. Brothers and sisters who've stood up are those who even in their heart are in their mind. That stood up and are truly giving God. I'm not going to put any stipulations on you. I'm not going to limit God with what I say. But he's here in the room, and he's washing and he's cleansing. Yield your heart. Rend your heart, not your garments. Who cares what the outside looks like if the inside is dirty? Father, thank you for coming. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your saving grace and your strength. That just as the story and the testimony of the woman of the well can be the same testimony for us and for those today who have made that decision, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Say amen, amen, amen. Can you guys clap it up for our brothers and sisters who stood up?